Hello, and welcome to the Living on Lemonade podcast. I'm your host, Lauren, and I'm here to share my life stories and tools I've discovered that make up my tool belt of soul practices. As a shift working first responder, these tools have not only changed my life, they've allowed me to shine a light for others who are navigating dark paths and help them move through their difficult time with more grace and ease. If you can use some tools and practices to help manage stress and move through a rough patch, you are in the right place. I can't wait to share my heart and lead you back to yours. Let's get started, shall we? Hello, everyone, and welcome to our self-care vision board evening. I'm so happy to have you here. First off, if you've been in my trainings before and just like hangout nights, I do like to start with just a few deep breaths just to kind of compress from the day. I know I need probably three or four just to let go of the day. And so feel free to kind of do that. Basically, the biggest thing is just make your exhale longer than the inhale. It starts to bring your body back into that rest and digest, that relaxation state. So if you've had a busy day or you just need to let some stuff go, you can visualize just it like washing away. You can take a big, deep exhale through your mouth and just feel like, feel those shoulders go down. You can keep your eyes open, keep them closed. If you need a little extra somatic or body support, you could put one hand or both over your heart, just kind of connecting back into your body. The idea is just bringing yourself back into your body so all the racing thoughts of whatever's going on can kind of settle down, and then we can focus in and be a little bit more relaxed. So we'll give it just a few moments. I'll probably take three or four breaths, and then I'll start into the content a little. It'll just be a quick intro, and I'll talk about the 8 pillars of self-care and just a few examples, and then here to answer any questions, and we can just kind of hang out together and see if anyone else pops in. So feel free to do that for yourself, just to kind of wash away the day, and we'll meet back in a moment. Oh, I got a couple more coming in. You need to move your body a little bit. If you feel a little bit of excess energy, you can kind of shrug your shoulders, move your torso, whatever feels good. Just kind of sink back into your body. It'll tell you what it needs to kind of separate from the day. Feel your heartbeat slowing down a little bit. Feel free to keep going if you need a little bit more support. You can, if you feel a little bit, I call it like airy fairy, when your head feels just a little bit in the clouds and there's lots of stuff going on, you can just imagine yourself like rooting into the ground, like from your tailbone, roots going into the earth. And like, if you really need a good anchor into the earth, imagine it wrapping around like the core of the earth and just really pulling you down. Getting you back grounded, take some deep breaths, and that'll help you sink back into your body. Okay. So the 8 pillars of self-care. If you are in my No Hustle Sales for Network Marketers group, we've already gone through the 8 weeks. So all the content is there. It's in the guides. I try to keep it organized. If you're in the Conscious Clean Living, which is my Norix VIP, and or my Living on Lemonade groups, we've just kind of started. I think we're on week 2. I need to go back and organize those into my guides. I've been a little distracted with a few personal things. So I preach balance. Sometimes the little nitty gritty putting things in guides just has to wait till the more important things get taken care of. So I will have that organized in the next few days. I'm going to go over the eight pillars. Now there's more, but I just picked kind of like core ones so we don't get too like off on tangents. The first one is physical. So we have physical self-care, and that's really taking care of our body, taking care of our vessel, right? It can be nutrition, movement, and then even within movement, there's strength training, there's aerobic training, there's flexibility, there's balance. So there's different ways to move our body. And being mindful of the different benefits of those types of movement. And really, I think the bottom line when we're picking our self-care routines is we don't have to commit to like a specific thing every day because every day can be different. And especially for the women here who are listening, if we still have a cycle, our energy changes throughout that cycle, right? When we're in different parts of our cycle, we're like super energetic. Other times we just want to stay in bed. So being able to have this tool belt of different practices available to us, we take those moments, we ground in. Take a few deep breaths, get into our body. Our body knows exactly what it needs. We don't always take the time to actually quiet and listen to it. We're living up here. So maybe we feel like some stretches, and it doesn't even have to be like a full yoga routine. Literally, there's been times where my hips feel tight and I just roll around my yoga mat or on the floor. Who cares? After 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever feels good, I know, hey, I've shown up for myself and I feel better. It doesn't have to be this official thing, just something that serves your well-being in whatever way you feel it needs to be nourished. Next one is mental. So mental well-being. And when I think we're in mental this week. We're talking about different hormones that our body releases: dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, endorphins. Dopamine is that instant gratification. This is why we get addicted to social media, because we get that instant feedback. Oxytocin is that connection hormone. Mother and baby feel it, right? When they're bonding and nursing and stuff. Serotonin helps us with sleeping and mood. And endorphins are those feel good hormones. If you like run or do some sort of aerobic exercise where you exert yourself and you feel that like euphoric kind of high at the end, that rush, especially if you get your heart rate up, that's endorphins. And there's lots of benefits to it. I'm not going to go into all the details, but you can look up any of those words or just follow along with the self-care weeks, and I dive into them a little bit deeper every day. Also good for mental wellness, having a good sleep routine and what you're doing to prepare yourself for sleep. And also a gratitude practice, always good for the brain, right? It helps to rewire those neural pathways. The more gratitude we show in our life, just the more abundance we feel. And there's in turn, again, it's interacting with the hormones that are released in our brain. It's creating more serotonin and stuff. So there's so many little things that we can do throughout our day, just taking 5 minutes, that can really help the little building blocks to a healthier and more joyful life. Number three is emotional. So again, some of these are kind of big topics. I'm not going to dive deep into them, but just some keywords here. If you're curious about them, we can talk about it after the recording's finished and we're just hanging out doing our vision boards. Again, there will be more content about it. And those would be inner child work helps with our emotional well-being. So this can be done either by yourself on your own or with a therapist. Boundaries, that's a big one. Big one, big one, big one. At least for me, I know learning boundaries has been very difficult, but very empowering. Connection, connecting both with ourselves and what we need and with others, people we feel safe with, people we trust, people we enjoy being around and who light us up. Creativity, having an outlet to feel creative is great for our emotional health. It can bring up all kinds of stuff, just to release even. And then two ways to release emotions, laughter and crying. I cannot say enough about crying. Honestly, I will always, always give 8 million thumbs up to crying. I schedule cry sessions sometimes. I start to feel, I've always been very in tune with my body, and I've always been very emotional too. And I notice when I haven't cried in a while, or I just have a build up of like things that have been going on, because it almost feels like a weight on my chest. I feel it physically, and I notice that I start getting shorter tempered. My fuse is shorter. I notice that, things that normally would just like roll off my shoulders start to irk me a little bit. And then that's my own personal nudge, or like heads up, hey. Been a while. I have a list of movies that like will open the floodgates, and when I make time for it, and then I cry my heart out, and usually w wake up with swollen eyes and a headache sometimes, but the release is so worth it. So I will always advocate for crying. There's hormones that are released as well. I think it's oxytocin is released. And crying also stimulates the vagus nerve, which is our highway to our parasympathetic nervous system, which is our rest and digest. So if you ever had a really good cry and you feel like exhausted, but also relaxed after, you just feel like, oh, that was so good. Like I'm exhausted, but it triggers that parasympathetic response in our body that really puts it to relaxation. So there's so many benefits of crying. And the last one for emotional is music. We can connect very, I want to say clearly, that's not the right word I'm looking for, but just like we can really connect with music, whether we need a boost to boost our mood, or whether we just want to listen to a sad song and make it trigger some tears and just release it. We can, when we really get to, bringing the grounding and the body awareness into our lifestyle, we know in that moment, do I need to turn my frown upside down, or do I need to just let it out? What do I need in this moment? So sometimes I'll listen to a funny song, like a good song, to just get me pumped and kind of like, turn it around a little bit. And then there's times where I'm like, nah, I just need to cry and just get it out. Number four is environmental. So a few examples here would be decluttering, like your literal environment, purging, sorting, donating things. That's been a big theme for me this winter, just going through every single room one at a time. I have a winter to-do list on my wall, and I gave myself all fall and all winter. There's no, again, I'm all about like sustainable supporting your nervous system when you do these things. I gave myself like 5 months, and it's like one room at a time. When it feels complete, I move to the next one. Maybe one day I look at my list and I'm like, I feel like purging, but I'm not ready to tackle a closet. So I'll go through a drawer and it takes like 10 minutes, and I'm like, cool, I can check it off. And I got something done, and it didn't overwhelm me. I feel good about it. And then there's weeks where I just didn't do anything. So it's all about what's going on. I know the list is there. It's not going anywhere. And when I feel like working on it, I make sure it feels good. Having a morning and or evening routine, or kind of like an ambiance, like if you just feel like you need to, for anyone who might have a meditation or a breathwork practice, maybe you want to light a candle, maybe you want to grab a comfy sweater and bundle, just put it around you, have a blanket across your legs. I like to sit on the floor. I'm sitting on the floor right now on a bolster. And this is how I work on my computer. I do other stuff. I meditate on the floor. And it feels good for me. Sometimes I'll light a candle just to have the smell, and just it changes the vibe of the room, right? So if you need something comforting, how can you create that for yourself? Exploring. Getting out and adventuring, having that, again, great for environmental well-being, seeking new opportunities, seeing new places. It could be in your like own backyard. It could be 20 minutes away. What's a little museum that's like you've driven by 8 million times but just never stopped in? Stop in sometime. We've got one up the road, and I didn't grow up in this area, but I'm starting to explore some of those little museums. There's one of like oil heritage. It's like the start of the whole extracting oil and stuff, and just like little things. So I learned things about my surroundings, and it didn't cost a lot of money. I didn't have to take a plane or a train, or I just drove, and it was an afternoon, and it was a lot of fun, and it's in my backyard. There's also a friend audit. Just being mindful of the people you're surrounding yourself with and how you feel around them, how you feel about yourself. Are you giving more than you receive? And we don't necessarily give to receive, but we can take inventory of the relationships that we're only giving ever. And how, is that still serving you? And it's not to say you have to cut them out or anything, but maybe redefine the energy and the capacity that you give them. I've had friends where I dropped everything at, the drop of a dime for them. And when I needed a friend, they weren't there. They were nowhere to be seen. So they're still in my life. But the priority and the way that I interact them with them and I guess the proximity that they have to me is different now. I prioritize the people who we have a supportive symbiotic relationship, right? We feed off each other, we support each other. So that can be very helpful for your environmental health, especially if you're feeling isolated, or just like you've been giving, 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 and your cup's dry. Social media purge or detox. You could go on a break from social media. You can go through your friend list or your followers on Instagram, who you're following. If there's accounts that just really don't make you feel good, you could unfollow them at least for a time or just mute them. It's simple as that. And I've always advocated for this, taking yourself on a solo date. It's so empowering. I can't say enough about it. Do something that makes you feel uncomfortable because when you go do it, especially something that you know is safe, you're not in any real danger, but it feels really uncomfortable. A lot of people are terrified of like going out to dinner by themselves or going to a movie by themselves. I can tell you when you do it and you walk out by yourself, it's just like, I did that. And just owning it. There's one thing I love about solo travel is I learn so much about myself when I'm traveling. And especially if, you're using multiple modes of transportation, you're problem solving and you're doing things that are new and uncomfortable. And throughout the whole process, you're learning and you're proving to yourself that you can do hard things. And at the end of it, there's so much empowerment and gratification of just like, hey, I did that thing I wasn't sure I could do. Number five is financial well-being. This can be around money beliefs. It can be financial goals. It can be savings and investing, budgeting and tracking. Money mindfulness. So sometimes the getting in tune and exploring some of the subconscious beliefs that we can have around money that we don't necessarily pick up on, but if we really start to get curious about why things aren't working, we can probably find a belief under there that's kind of like blocking us from getting over it. And also money-related learning. So essentially just you could use YouTube, you can read books, just learning about different things money-related, investing and such. Number six is social wellness. Some of these are kind of transferable. So I have here for social wellness connection. You could write a letter. Who has a pen pal here or remembers having a pen pal? And how fun was that just to get like a handwritten letter in the mail? It could be a card. My middle sister lives out west. She writes a little card to my grandma, who's 100, every single week. Because my grandma's not great on the phone anymore. It's, sometimes she just doesn't hear or process really well. And my sister only gets home a couple times a year. So every single week, and half the time she told me, she's like, I don't really know what to say. But she just sends this little loving message. And my grandma always shows people, she's like, look at my letter from Becky. And it's just those little things. It's keeping connection with the people that we're apart from in a really fun way. Because I mean, getting a letter in the mail is so much better than bills. So it's nice to get that little break, right? So who can you establish at, with a connection with and be pen pals? Also, social gatherings. So now that we have been able to gather in person for a while, that's always really fun. And building community that can be in person, that can be online. If you're a business owner and you have an online community, how can you create community and connection within that online community? Are you creating learning events with them? Are you playing games? Whatever speaks to you that feels fun, that gets people interacting and feeling like they belong. The biggest compliment when you have a community is when someone, especially if they vocalize like, this feels like a safe space. I love being in here. Then it's like, you know that they're your people because you're providing value, you're being yourself, you're saying the things you want to say, and people are getting something from it. Number seven is recreational. So I wrote down here scavenger hunt. All kinds of just like basically like hobbies and downtime and extra time. This can be reading, board games, puzzles, again by yourself or interacting with others, cooking your favorite meal. That's always awesome. Or getting takeout from your favorite place, spending time in nature. And that can look like so many different things. Couple of my favorites, stargazing and cloud watching. So fun. And it's just, it gives you, for one, especially if you're laying on the ground, you're connecting back with the earth. You're getting like literally grounded and just, you're able to just connect with something that's not all the racing thoughts, right? You're just kind of focusing in, you're bringing yourself directly into the present moment. And whether you're alone or with someone, it can just be such a fun and I call them like a heart hug experience. It just feels warm and fuzzy. And then hobbies, of course, which is such a wide range. Number eight, last but not least, spiritual self-care, spiritual wellness. This can look like journaling. If you need to dive deeper with how you're feeling, if you're feeling emotional and you need to get it out, you can put it on paper. If you feel like it's something you need to release, write it out and then burn it. There is so, it's such a good feeling. I've done it a few times. Say the things you need to say. If you have a broken relationship or you've stepped away from something that's toxic to you, and or you don't have the opportunity to tie up the loose ends with this person, it's wonderful to write them a letter, say what you need to say, and then burn it. There's like a visual representation there. Like it's just, I highly recommend it. Self-discovery, you know, some of the personal development, just getting curious about why we do things and if it's still serving us. And is this a behavior that I learned? Like, who did I learn this from? If it comes from childhood and being able to kind of work through that stuff. Also, mapping out our core values. This ends up becoming like the compass to how we make decisions and how we lead our life. If some of our core values are family and being in connection with our loved ones and being present, and we get an opportunity that would jeopardize those things, we have those core values. We have to be mindful of them. And then we have to take pause and go, am I willing to sacrifice my family time for this activity or whatever it is? Like, what are my priorities here? And it just helps you to have the awareness to stay on track there and make sure that you're not compromising your own like integrity and your values in the things that you're doing. 'Cause Yeah, that's where things can get a little off keel. That's where we can lead to burnout. We can lead to resentment and just not being our authentic selves. We have to stay true to who we are and what's important to us. Paying it forward, doing little things for people, letting people in traffic, holding a door for someone, paying for someone's Tim's behind you. It doesn't have to cost anything, but just smiling at someone as you walk by. There's so much value that we don't even necessarily think about it very consciously. But we can make someone's day. Pay them a compliment. You see someone with wicked shoes, tell them they got wicked shoes. Guaranteed they're gonna add a little spring to their step after that. They'll be like, yeah, she gets it. And a couple more, yoga and meditation, of course, especially if you feel spiritual and you have religion can tie in as well, but having that deeper devotion to things and getting quiet so that you can connect in. And then the last one I have is connecting with a higher power, whatever that looks like for you. The other thing I wanted to say, which is a little bit like a little off left field, but still relevant. Tonight's a new moon. I don't know if anyone follows the moon phases. You don't have to be woo to do it. Essentially, the bottom line, when I look at the moon phases and stuff, it is an opportunity, and a lot of calendars will say when the new moon and the full moon are, right? So it's literally like you don't have to have any special tracker. Sometimes just the calendar on your wall says when the moon is full. The symbolism behind a new moon is we can't see the moon, right? It's dark. So if you are the type of person that likes to set intentions, or you're going towards like goals and you want to keep track of your progress with them, you can literally use the moon phases. So with the new moon, it's like planting seeds. You're planting your intentions. It's dark. The seeds are under the soil. They haven't developed yet. You've literally just sown them into the soil. So what are your intentions? It could be for the next 28 days. That's the moon phase. And it can be a check-in along the way towards a longer, like a farther out goal. It's just a way to check in with what your intentions and goals are for the year, or for however long. But when we think of the new moon, it's like we're setting our intentions, we're releasing it, and we're gonna listen, we're gonna ground whatever inspiration we get along that way as the moon starts to grow and develop. This is when we start to take the actions. And when the moon is big and full, it's really energetically charged, right? The moon influences tides. It influences all kinds of stuff. Talk to a psych nurse. She can tell you on the shifts that it's a full moon without looking at the sky. You know what I mean, right? So when the moon's full, it's like that's when the seeds have broken through the earth, and the stalks have grown up, and maybe there's fruit yet, or maybe we just need to check in on that plant and on those, what are we doing towards this goal that we're pr trying or intention that we're trying to bring to fruition, right? So I just thought I would add that in because it's a new moon tonight. If that's something that interests you, feel free to just look at it and see if there's a way that it could be integrated into what you're trying to create in your life. It's just literally like a very constant, steady reminder as you go throughout your months of like, hey, I need to check in with this goal. I need to set my intentions. The other thing with the full moon is that's when we do like we release what didn't work, we release what we need to release, and then we kind of start the process over. So I'm going to finish this up. I'm going to stop recording and then we're going to hang out. Thank you so much for tuning in today's episode, and I can't wait to meet you inside of the next one. In the meantime, if you'd like to connect on social media, you can find me on Instagram at Ms. Lauren Gilhula. That's MZZLaurenGilhula. Hope to see you soon.